Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is David Love.
This is Lana Love.
Today on our show, we have our good friend Elizabeth England, who we met in Punta Cana recently on a trip to the U.S., and we spent some time there with her, with a few of our friends, and Lynn Rose and Bob Doyle, and we had a really good time, and we had a lot of interesting conversations, and we thought it would be really exciting to have Elizabeth on our show.
Elizabeth is a spiritual entrepreneur, and she is very knowledgeable in a vast number of areas, so we're very excited to have Elizabeth on our show today. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Lana. Thank you, David. It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to have a little reunion.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Elizabeth, could you tell us a little bit about the many areas that you work in?
And your background and experiences and what brought you to where you are now?
Sure. Yeah, of course, I'd love to. I'm from a very sort of traditional military and corporate background. I served altogether 17 years in the military.
Oh, really?
Wow. Mostly Army, and I also did about 20 years in the corporate world, and I had a spiritual awakening in 2009 that was really incredibly powerful, and it shifted my focus, and I really felt from this awakening experience that I finally had the direction of why I took form as a human in this lifetime. And what I was here for. And so for the past 5 years, I've been working to become part of the consciousness movement, to really learn everything I can about it, and to have my businesses be focused on expansion and expanding awakening in every way possible.
That's really exciting. Lana and I were just talking yesterday about how, although, you know, Lana and I, we don't make any money on this, and certainly we put a lot of money and time and money into what we're doing, like a lot of people in the spiritual community. But we're, even though we're not big players or whatever, but we're really just really excited to be part of the change that's going on in the world, and just grateful to meet people like yourself, exciting, interesting people in our network all, every day, and working with them towards, you know, bettering the planet.
It gives meaning to life. It's our contribution to the planet. And I think, you know, if everyone is similarly focused and gives part of themselves towards the bettering of the planet, it must work out.
Well, really, it seems like so many of us are here just for this time, and we realize the excitement and the opportunity and the responsibility of being here on Earth during this incredible time of transition, when the patriarchy is passing away, when so many of the structures that are in place that have fallen into greed and corruption are beginning to disintegrate as the light is shined on them, and how across the world it seems that everyone has the blinders falling off, and a lot of the things that leadership and criminal elements used to get away with, they can't do anymore, because everybody's aware, we know, and we're creating our own new world that seems to be growing up right up around us, you know, and it's at like, you know, somewhere to me, it's between like knee and thigh level at this point, you know, it's, I look down and I'm saying, wow, there really is a new world all around me, and I can really see it now. It's not just, sprouts anymore. Yes. There's a ton being created. So that's why I got into the businesses that I got into, because they're all about light and vibration and shifting people in subtle ways so that they can begin to experience this opening that you and I, we've all experienced.
This great awakening, consciousness, expansion of consciousness. It's really an amazing time.
Yeah.
So I guess though, at the same time as, you know, the light workers and the spiritually aware people are growing, something that obviously concerns everybody is the growing negative side, the growing army of people that seem to be willing to stop at nothing to destroy things. Mm-hmm. And it's almost an irony, isn't it, that, you know, that the light grows, but the darkness grows as well.
Yeah, that's right. The light's expanding in the world, but the darkness is growing in the world just as quickly against us, and there's a lot of opposition, and we're in a sort of a dark time right now. So it's
interesting, that perspective. I see it very differently.
Really?
Yeah, I see that a lot of this darkness has always been there.
True.
And when you shine the light on it, you're able to see it. So as we are now in a place where so much more light is shining, we have become so much more aware of the dark because we're seeing it. I don't think it's more than it was. I just think that we've got all kinds of spotlights shining in onto it, and it's become much more obvious. It's much harder to hide it. It's much more in our faces, and so it can feel overwhelming if you don't remember that the shift has already happened. We have already shifted more towards love than fear. And as that happens, and all of these fear-based consciousness groundings into Earth's energy field become exposed, you know, you have to keep in mind that it's because there's so much light now, and they cannot be hidden anymore.
I think you're right about that. I do think that, you know, certainly that those dark elements, those dark forces have always been there and always been in power, and of course, you know, now that they're being exposed to the light, we're seeing it for what it is. But also, don't you think that they've sort of become more desperate to hold on to their power, that old establishment, and really desperate to try to maintain their control?
Yes, we're seeing that quite obviously happening in the world markets right now. Today's or yesterday's news, I don't know if it was yesterday or today's news, the British government has announced that they're going to participate in the new, basically there's a new World Bank forming. The World Bank has been run by the Western power banks and the Western countries for decades, and it's been a horrible tool. It's been, you know, there are great people involved with the World Bank who've tried to do the right thing and tried to put good practices in place. But as we know, and as it's been exposed now, a lot of these programs were to exploit, to go into countries, exploit their natural resources, and put them in a position of being debtor nations.
Right.
And so that World Bank fund was funded by all these Western nations, you know, the European Union nations and the U.S. and Japan and so on. And these great powers now are beginning to shift. And what's happened is China, Russia, Brazil, India, and South Africa about a decade ago started to meet and say, you know, we're trapped in this economic order that's controlled by these countries, and they're not doing things in our interest. They're doing things in their own interest, and they're really not even doing things in the national interest of those countries. They're doing it in the interest of corporate structures that don't have any moral ground or don't seem to have good moral footing in their decision making. And so we need to put together our own economic development bank in our own economic system that's not dollar-based. So they began this process, and it's accelerated rapidly in the last few years. And in the last 6 months, they've put, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into this bank and officially declared it open. And the British just announced that they're going in. They're pulling out of the World Bank. And another European country, I think it might have been France. So we're beginning to see major nations that have been beholden to this old system realize that they better shift, because there is a new way of doing things and there is a new monetary system, and they're going to be left out if they stick with the old one that's being abandoned, which is, you know, the dollar as the reserve currency and a fiat money system.
So, Elizabeth, you're saying that really, you know, perhaps countries like Russia do have a point, and that you know, quite possibly the West has been manipulating
the currency and the banking system. And
I think that that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
That's pretty clear that that's been going on. And it's pretty clear that in the United States, we have a government that's controlled by corporations at this point.
Right.
Right up to the presidency. And we have a tremendous amount of frustration in our population in our inability to get our representatives to, you know, do things on our behalf. And everything is really driven by consumerism and money interests and special interests in this country right now. And, you know, we're in a constitutional crisis here in the United States. So there's no question about this.
Can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's been a creeping shift since 9/11.
Uh-huh.
You know, where we've slowly given up civil liberties.
Right.
And we have a Department of Homeland Security, which is extremely invasive. We have the NSA, which Edward Snowden has exposed. And we have no political will to do anything about this. We have quite clearly a revolving door system between government positions and Federal Reserve and, you know, these too big to fail banks. And these people just rotate in and out of corporate and government positions, shifting government policy to benefit these corporations. We have the same thing going on in our Department of Agriculture, which is completely embedded with, you know, major leaders that are from corporations that are shifting policy to benefit their companies. And, you know.
Can I also say, I mean, it's interesting you say that it happened since 9/11. I mean, there's a lot of speculation about the fact that 9/11 was in fact an inside job, and I'm not sure how much of the American population believes that. But I'm wondering whether that's also sort of, you know, something that's spreading, you know, discontent and lack of belief in the
lack of faith
powers.
I think that a lot more people are beginning to question it than ever before at this time. But from your perspective, I mean, from being from the from another continent, did you wonder when you saw that this happened here?
I actually didn't. Initially. I didn't initially at all. No. However, having, you know, been on the internet a lot and having sort of, I guess, matured in my understanding of how the world works, you know, the Illuminati and the power structures, I guess I also saw, you know, things on the internet, and that made me look and probe into it deeper. And what I saw was, you know, evidence that really made me think that it was an inside job, and that made me I guess, shocked at first, made me very sad, and then made me very frightened. Now, I have talked to other people about it, many of whom will not accept that such a thing can happen. So I'm not sure. I think in Australia there's certainly not that belief, but in America it seems to me that there are a lot of people that are questioning it.
Yeah, I think that we're at that stage now. You know, the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth have done a tremendous amount of work to open Americans' eyes, and they are really heroes. You know, Richard Gage was the founder and president of that organization, and he's an architect, and he had questions when the buildings came down. Why all of the procedures that had always been in place for a true investigation to be conducted, so that the engineers and the architects who build high-rise buildings could have the data and they could understand how a catastrophic failure like this happened, so that they could be sure to change their methods and to train all new architects in methods that would prevent this kind of thing. And the entire area was cordoned off, and no investigation was allowed by the normal procedures of powers that would do this. And they started to haul away all of the evidence and put it on ferry boats and send it to China for recycling of the metals. And so groups of people right away, very early, began to be suspicious about what was going on and how much information was being controlled and how things weren't being done in the way that they normally would have been done to ensure this. So up until this time, you know, the architects and engineers are still asking for a real investigation, because they're convinced that it was from the evidence that they have been able to gather, because they went out and they gathered their own, and they did did as much research as they could based on what they saw and what they were able to collect, and they feel that it was a controlled demolition.
Certainly looks like it.
It's good to me. I can't see how it could have collapsed quite like that. But I've done, you know, work with government agents, and I've seen how committed they are to the government. And I also have some friends who are investigators with the government, and they tell me that they're not as well informed as people here about what's going on. Mm. So it's kind of interesting. And so I often have my suspicions, although I don't, you know, I don't follow up on a lot of these things or research them, but...
I guess the general theme that we're talking about here is people being discontented with their leaders. And of course, the same thing is happening in Russia as well. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that while on the surface it's, you know, perhaps America and the Western countries versus perhaps Russia and China, on really what we're talking about with the New World Order is the people versus the people in power and the corporate structures.
The world leaders and the corporate, right, because it almost seems like a lot of collusion to me between what's
between
going
the two.
On. We,
yes,
we don't
yes.
know. But
yes.
Yes, that's why I'm still very, I'm watching closely what's really going on with this Chinese and Russian-based New World Bank and who the players emerge as, because... there has been a tremendous amount of pushback from China and Russia and some of these other smaller, braver countries to not allow the status quo and to throw wrenches in the works. And so while, you know, it seems that maybe Putin doesn't seem to be the most popular guy in Russia, he's tremendously popular in Russia. And he's done a real lot to stand toe-to-toe with these basically global racketeers and say, no, you're not going to cross this line. And he did that in Syria, and he did it in Ukraine. And he's doing it financially, too, which I find really fascinating. You know, as the world pushes towards a gold or a precious metal-backed currency, because they don't want this funny money that's been just printed and printed, this quantitative easing. They don't want this to be controlling the global economy anymore. They want real gold-backed and silver-backed currencies. They've been doing some interesting things. You know, they obviously, big countries, they buy lots and lots and lots of treasury bonds. They buy foreign currencies for other countries, right? And China and Russia have been converting their treasury bonds and buying. They've been on spending sprees around the planet, buying all kinds of things, because they don't really think the dollar's going to be the currency long term, so they figure they might as well spend it now. And they have been settling their international accounts with each other in precious metals. So they're not on the dollar system anymore.
But, I wouldn't think so. Yeah, with all the sanctions that they're being hit with, quite frankly, I think Russia's probably looking at the Western nations, NATO, as the oppressor and dictator, really. Who knows what's really going on? I mean, I watch it with interest, and I wonder about what's really happening. But you know, I just want to compliment you. You sound really, you're very well informed and well spoken and intelligent, and you come across as really knowing your stuff, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, so it's wonderful to have you as a guest and someone who has had so much inside knowledge about how the corporate as well as the military operates. Yeah. That's it allows you to see the world with an accuracy that other people can't see.
An inside view.
Yes, that's right.
Could you tell us a little bit about your experiences, if you can, or?
Sure.
You can. Okay.
My dad was military. He was Army Air Corps before there was actually an Air Force. And he was in Burma, China. And, I guess he would be one of those special ops types. And somehow that is something that is in my family. My mom was assisting in the Army, in the 40s. And my brother went into the Air Force when I was a kid. And I was born kind of late in my parents' life. But I was raised with this intense patriotism for the American way and democracy.
What truth and justice.
Yeah. And, I had walked the Freedom Trail so many times as a kid in Boston, and so I had I wanted to really walk my talk. So when I was in college, I joined the Army Reserve, and I went in military intelligence as an imagery analyst, and I went to school and I was trained to read these wild photographs that side looking radar and planes would take, over the borders, and satellite pictures and that kind of thing, and to write reports on it. And that was interesting. I had a top secret clearance, and I was exposed to a lot of exciting things doing that. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I switched into a different kind of job, and I worked for a civil affairs unit, which was just fascinating. Civil affairs is kind of like a nation-building unit, one small unit that has all the elements to build or rebuild in a place where they really need help. So we had lawyers who knew corporate. We had lawyers who knew all the judicial and regional, state and federal laws. We had veterinarians, we had people who set up hospital systems, we had people who set up security systems, police systems, public health systems, and all of these people were in one unit, and it was all really incredibly well-trained, brilliant people who had high-level knowledge about how to go into an area and, recreate a water system, recreate an electrical grid, whatever needed to be done. And that was fascinating work, and that I got really busy. My units got really busy when we started to, in the 90s, when we started to go to Iraq and Iran and Panama and all these different, Iraq and Panama. And we started to do a lot of trips with this kind of work to very obscure places. So that was my Army time. And I found that in the Army there's a lot of silos, There was a lot of people who were very fanatic about what their beliefs were. I was surprised to find a lot of people who wanted to proselytize for what I'd call a very born again Christian type of belief.
Yes, there's myth as well, sure, in the government, sure.
There was an Opus Dei kind of influence in some silos. There was a Mormon influence in some silos of power. It was very interesting to go
wow.
and find out that certain parts of the organizations were really populated with these
really?
These
wow.
groups that had very strong beliefs about spreading their religious message.
Oh dear.
And they were, you know, they were warriors for God.
Right.
So I had a rifle in one hand and a Bible in the other.
Fight for
yes,
God.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
And it's that can really be a scary thing, you know, with, in, as far as how far someone will go to serve their God and kill for their God. And,
yes.
You know, force those beliefs.
Yes.
We see that on a global scale, and it's it can be very scary. But you've had some very interesting experiences, even much more than I have, I think, on that level.
It's fascinating to see how people's belief systems influence what they do, both
yeah.
in the military and, of course, in the corporate world.
Right.
And I think it's quite frightening. I long for a world where everyone can have a sense of oneness and can be open to all sorts of different paradigms.
Live and let live.
That's right.
I know we have a couple of friends, Jonah Bolt from the Starseed Society, Starseed Radio, and Alexander Midas of Galactic Connection, who would love to have you on their shows. They have very large radio networks.
Mm.
They'd be very interested in hearing about your...
Yes.
Oh, wow. That would be interesting. Yeah.
We'd love to talk about you know, perhaps a few things in more depth after we come back from a break.
Right.
About perhaps... your level of understanding about perhaps different layers in our world that might be influencing us.
Maybe a spiritual awakening and
that's right.
Yes.
You know.
Sure.
Maybe we'll take a break now and come back and talk about that.
Okay,
sure,
great.
Maybe we can do the happy song.
Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love.
Welcome back, everybody. This is David Love.
This is Lana Love. And we've got Elizabeth England with us today, a spiritual entrepreneur.
And a good friend of ours.
Elizabeth, welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Elizabeth, we wanted to hear about the products that you make and sell. I know that when we were traveling in Punta Cana, I got ill, and so did David, and we tried some of your pills, and they were amazing,
longevity
really amazing.
Longevity pure medicine. Yes, longevity pure medicine, my homeopathic medicines.
Oh, lovely. Could you tell us about your products and your website and a little bit
sure.
about them?
Sure. So after I had my awakening and I started to work with doing things that were more about awakening people, I've always been a fan of alternative medicines and tried to find things that were not harmful to the body, that were natural as much as possible to help us heal. And I discovered homeopathics, and they're just fascinating. They were the most commonly used medicine on the planet until the AMA was founded in the United States, and the AMA and the doctors at that time wanted a way to make money off of patent medicines. So before that, homeopathics were the primary medicine that was used pre-1920s in this country, and still around the world are very common in India, South America, Germany, England, France. Homeopathics are the first line of defense when someone needs something. So let me tell you a little bit about why they're really exciting. I love vibrational medicine. I love the idea that we are vibrational beings, and everything has its unique vibrational signature. So Samuel Hahnemann, over 200 years ago in Germany, was an herbalist, and he understood how to use all these different types of herbs to make different reactions in the human body to initiate healing. And somehow he got the idea, a download of some sort, I'm sure, from galactic energies or cosmic energies, of this wisdom, where he took the raw element that he knew caused, let's say, for example, a certain element that would cause, if you had a runny nose, it would cause your body to clear up, your nose to clear up. And he would take this raw element and he would put it into distilled water and slowly shake the element in this water until the water took on the vibrational imprint of that healing element. Then he took that vibrationally imprinted structured water and sprayed it onto neutral pellets, or just used a dropper and slipped it under the tongue and just put the liquid straight under the tongue. And it would initiate that vibration into the body. And the body's immune system would respond to that vibration and initiate healing in that area.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing.
So, how, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's amazing how intelligent the body is and that it knows to heal itself. Because my first book was Illusion of the Body, which was all about body intelligence and cellular intelligence and, you know, the consciousness of the body and how it's... can be directed and whatnot, the way you're talking about. So,
absolutely. So you understand this, and you know, the body heals itself. You know, that's the bottom line. No matter what medicine or what surgery is done, it's the body that responds and heals itself. So, I was my very good friend was the medical advisor when Longevity was founded in 1983, and the people who he advised at that time decided that they didn't want to continue with that company. So it's now our company, and we have 10 very simple combination remedies that are first line of defense items for things like headache, aches and pains, cold and flu, acne, stomach aches. We have a fantastic arthritis remedy. So I have this very wonderful.
It's like an inoculation, isn't it? When people have the flu vaccination, for instance, you get given the dead virus. But I mean, this way, you actually have the imprint of it, or the substance which is noxious in the water. It's so much safer.
Exactly. You understand it exactly. It is the same concept that immunizations came out of.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I did use this. I was very sick in Punta Cana, and then I did use your product, and it certainly contributed or cured, you know, my nausea and my headaches, and I got better. I felt better.
You were experiencing, I think, some sort of a cold or a flu, and I gave you the cold and flu remedy, and that is our most popular remedy.
It's appalling. You know, homeopathy, you're saying, was the most widely used medicine, and then the AMA closed it down. I mean, doctors are responsible for a lot of things. I actually cringe. Of course, I'm a doctor who's open to alternative things, but I just cringe about that. I really do.
It's all about self-interest.
That's right. So did you give us your website?
My website is longevitypuremedicine.com.
Uh-huh. And people can order from online?
Yes, and I will ship internationally. It's a little bit more shipping cost.
Right.
But they can purchase online.
LongevityPureMedicine.com.
Any one of these remedies, and I ship it out.
Fantastic.
So thank you for letting me talk about it. Another thing that I got involved with was color therapy, and I have a company that I'm in partnership with, Eros Christos, who is a dolphin ambassador. He's an absolutely galactic ambassador. And he had won the 2007 LA Music Awards for his transformational toning. And after that, he's I guess you'd call him sort of a creative force. He just is always creating some sort of vibrational energy that is healing towards the planet. So when we met in 2010, he was beginning to design some fashion And so we've been in a fashion business together for 3 years, and you'll love the name. It's called Galactic Orgasm Design.
Galactic Orgasm.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a catchy name.
The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
And it's G-O-D for short, GOD, Galactic Orgasm Design.
Oh, we'll have to look at
and
that.
We it's galacticorgasmdesign.com, and we recycle clothes. So, you know, we don't like to use new pieces. We like to use pieces that people have had in their closet that they probably spent too much money on, and they don't really know what to do with it. It sits there, and it's so wonderful that they won't get rid of it, but they don't wear it. Mm-hmm. And we turn it into something spectacular that is filled with sacred geometry and divine galactic energy. And when you wear it, it shifts your entire energy field.
Oh, really?
And people have miraculous experiences with these clothes.
Wow. How exciting.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's really fun.
Do you do anything with, Lana has an interest in scalar energy. Do you work with that at all?
I'm not familiar with scalar energy.
No, I think it's, it's an interesting topic.
I think it basically represents the chi and the life force, and I think scalar energy also involves vibration. I think we're probably talking about the same thing, but it's something that it's very hard to quantify, so it hasn't been acknowledged by, I guess, the scientific experts, but... Mm-hmm. And yet it's...
If you can't make money on it, then, you know.
Yeah.
Or you can't measure it, right? If you can't make money on it, they're not interested in it. And if they can't, they haven't built a machine that can measure it, it doesn't exist.
Yes.
This is a conversation I had with a man the other day. I said, how do you know that I love you or I don't love you? You can't measure it. Yes. You don't have a machine. So you're telling me love isn't real because you can't measure it?
I guess you can measure the number of times a guy's bought you flowers.
and a lot of times we don't even know ourselves or what's in our subconscious or what we really love or hate. A lot of us, we act and our human behavior and the way we show, you know, the way we present ourselves in the world isn't necessarily what's below the surface. We don't often know our own feelings and emotions and
thoughts.
Exactly.
We've got to get away from this paradigm that says that unless you measure it, unless you can measure it, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So something I wanted to discuss with you, Elizabeth, is what do you think we as people that want to make the transition to the new world, what can we do? Because there are forces against us, as we were talking before. The light is growing, but the dark is growing as well. And it would be reassuring to know that there would be galactic beings behind us, but I believe there might be also some, you know, spiritual galactic beings behind the darkness as well. I'd love to discuss that, you know, the bigger picture, and also discuss what we can do as just individuals.
And also I noticed that there's an upcoming conference that you're involved with, which Michael Tollinger and a few...
Elizabeth's going to be here for another 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing alchemy event at the end of the month here in LA at the LAX Holiday Inn. And that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. I'd love to be there. We'd love to be there for that. But
wow.
Yeah, and Tellinger, he has just some amazing stuff that he's discovered about the Anunnaki and the idea that they were here to mine the gold and perhaps to save their own planet. And that we're a genetic experiment. I mean, there are so many fascinating theories about all this. But for you and I think we recognize that there are definitely forces and energies and aspects of us that are not physical, that are very much operating. I do believe that there is a lot going on with the galactics, but they're not third dimensional. They have to shift in order to become third dimensional. And so we don't see them as much in the physical as we'd like to. So, you know, it's that show me stuff, that Missouri State show me stuff. You know, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. But
they do affect us, though.
I'm sorry?
They do affect us, though.
I think that it's becoming quite obvious that many, many, many people are perceiving that they don't need to be shown to believe it. And you know, you mentioned to me talking about a little bit about, you know, what is the power force behind some of this dark energy, especially these concentrated forms of energy that have taken control of the highest level of power structures in the world. And one of the theories that has been put out there, which I know David Icke has talked about a lot, is that there are fourth dimensional reptilians, and that these beings, you know, everything has their source of energy. And these particular beings, their favorite source of energy is fear, emotion.
That's us, isn't
I think we had someone on our show, Edwige Bing, who had an experience with them, an out-of-body experience. And I've had very vivid classic out-of-body experiences where I've seen some of these negative parasites. And I can say for my own sake that they are real, like you're saying.
Okay.
So.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen any, but I've heard enough from people to believe it must be true. And it's sort of like gives you a sense of yikes, knowing that they might want to feed upon human fear. And that's
They
us.
certainly do. That's their fear is their
Nasty.
favorite technique, and fear is, an illusion, but certainly fear and disinformation and psychological tactics are their weapon of choice.
So maybe if we all put on a happy face, they'll go away.
But when you say, you know, what do we do? How do we resolve and manage in a world where there seems to be so much darkness in our face right now because it's all being exposed? You know, it is about experiencing your own joy and laughing as much as possible and recognizing that our life is, you know, really, we are actors on a stage and it's a play.
For
So let's
sure,
play.
the human drama.
Let's play some more, you know,
I
a
have to
lot
talk
more
about.
laughter, a lot more play in our lives. And it, about 3 years ago, when I was really in the intense part of this awakening, and I was having so many visions, and probably some of the things that you were talking about, David, I'd see, you know, light bodies and of the people around me, and have many out of body experiences with beings that I met with, and I understood that I have two choices in every moment and how to interpret things, and I can interpret it out of love or out of fear. And I've made the conscious choice to interpret out of love and to experience love and to not buy into the fear, because if we are in a reality that we can create, then I want to create the sweetest, most fun reality possible.
Absolutely, and love is the highest vibration, and it's certainly, and that's your power. And when you are in that highest state of vibe, in that highest vibration, certainly the darkness can't exist in your reality. And I've learned that. But what I usually talk about, what I've talked a lot about in the past, is doing that introspective self-examination and looking in within yourself at your thoughts and feelings and beliefs, and looking at your darkness and facing down those demons. But once you've done that, you can go to what Lana often says: don't face your darkness, face your happiness. And you can know your happiness and your joy and your love once you realize that it's just fear and it doesn't have any power over you, and those creatures don't have any power over you.
Unless you
Give
I
it.
love what you said, Elizabeth, that you've got two choices in every moment. That
So
is
true.
so important. You can do anything out of love or out of fear. In with my patients in therapy, I do a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is sort of like a simplified version focused on emotions, but of course there's a spiritual dimension to it. But I guess the focus is that we perceive everything, our reactions, while we think we react to circumstances, we in fact react to our perceptions, and
Right.
we have the power to change our
Exactly.
perceptions. That is
Exactly.
so, I wish they taught that at school. But
Yeah.
one of my goals in the future is to try to get this taught in school. It's more important than maths or
I
English or
think so.
physics. The fact that we can actually create our own reality, and that what we're really saying is we can maintain a positive vibration despite the things that happen around us. And in fact, our positive vibration can affect other people back.
It certainly does. It's about mastering the law of polarity and recognizing the illusion of duality and accepting non-duality and just knowing the extremes and knowing that we're giving interpretations to everything and meaning to everything. And when I saw when I saw these creatures in my light body, I was terrified of them and for many years, and they would continue
they
to
do
sort of,
sound very scary.
Well, they do. And
they had teeth, didn't they?
They did, yes. Yeah, some of them did. Astral wildlife, I think.
Wow.
But the higher intelligent parasites, they use that against you. They take on the most fearsome forms to terrorize you. And as I developed in my spirituality, I no longer fear them, and they could no longer, I found my inner power, and they no longer bother me at all, because I am love, and I know that. And so, you know, once you...
I think also what happens, you know, just like a magnet with polarity, you know, you repel things or you attract things, you know.
True.
So as your vibration shifts, things that are just so opposite polarity are driven away from you. But one thing that I've just been thinking about lately that's fantastic is this idea that, oh, I have to work through my blocks, I have to release these things, and so and it occurred to me, I'm perfect, whole, and complete. Those are me.
Yes,
those are me too. And I'm never going to get rid of them.
No,
you know, but I can accept them, relate them, integrate them, and still choose the direction to face.
Thoughts and feelings are a choice, and beliefs are a choice.
What you're saying, though, Elizabeth, is you're saying you can actually rise above it to a state of pure spirit where, you know, it's not your personality or what you believe in that is the real you. The real you is an infinite spirit, and you can actually rise above that.
You rise above the pendulum.
Yes. We have 2 minutes left. We have 2 minutes left, so we're going to have to say goodbye. Loving having you on the show, Elizabeth.
Yeah. Could you give us your website again?
Sure, longevitypuremedicine.com and galacticorgasmdesign.com. And just want to remind everybody that we got Alchemy event in Los Angeles. It's a 4-day event, March 26th through 29th.
Awesome.
And that's going to be an amazing event, if you can tune in.
Fantastic.
That'd be great. I've spoken with Michael Tollinger by email in the past, so hopefully we can get him on here sometime.
Thank you both so much for having me on. I enjoyed it.
We'd love to have you back sometime. Thank you so much for
big
being on the show.
And thank you to all our listeners.
Yep. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, and goodbye from Universal Soul Love.
Bye for now.